of driving a message home. And there was a lot in there, and it's a great leap off for the full message today. Order from chaos. I could talk forever on this one. So we're in a time where people are wondering where God is and what he's doing. So many of our lives right now, our jobs, our families seem to be in chaos. We feel our situation spinning out of control. It forces us to work harder, work longer, struggle, toil, sweat, just to keep things together. You ever feel that way? Just to get through each day, and then we wake up and do it all again the next day. Our country and our society itself and our world seems to be in chaos right now. Well, it's not the worst place in the world. It does seem to be destroying itself bit by bit, piece by piece. Society is becoming increasingly more violent. And violence enters our world without warning, with great force, and changes things drastically. The mass shootings in Orlando and now Las Vegas had the sole purpose and evil motivation to kill as many innocent people as possible when they were just out having a good time. We're seeing more and more school violence, both in the classroom, on school buses, and gee, we see so much disrespect for the teachers in their classrooms. The family structure is under attack by those who are trying to redefine what God called a marriage. And those who stand up for righteousness are labeled intolerant. We have houses of worship, churches, synagogues on every corner, but it doesn't make a difference. And we see a lot of churches and synagogues that are in turmoil themselves, that are in chaos, with a lot of infighting and a lot of turmoil. It's not God's will for the world and our communities to live our lives in a state of chaos. The reality is simple. It's very simple. Whenever God or God's influence is not present, wherever God's light is not shining, there is chaos and confusion. Just imagine what would happen into the universe if God were to remove his hand from it. Think about how society would be without God being a part of it at all. Think about what would happen to every house of worship if God was not at the center of it. How would your life be if God wasn't part of it? Let me tell you something. If God is not the center of your life, then something else is. And I can assure you, if something other than God is at the center of your life will have more and more chaos and confusion. And that's not a comfortable place to be. Our God is a God of order, not confusion. And our God is a God of peace, not chaos. Next slide, please. God brought order to the universe just a week ago. We read in Genesis 1:1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the surface of the water. So we see that in the beginning, as it says, he created heaven and earth. And verse 2 says, the real translation that you all are familiar with, and most Bibles have, most English Bibles have, is formless and void. A number of years ago, at the MJA regional, Rabbi Judah Hungerman, I don't know if you know him, he did a marvelous piece on re-looking at creation. And it struck with me, I mean, this has got to be 5 years ago, at least. And it was excellent, an excellent discussion of the next level of creation. And I've used that in many ways in a lot of different messages and my understanding of creation. In the original text, though, the terms tohu vavohu are usually described as formless and void. That's in the Hebrew of verse 2, and I have it underlined in blue. Tohu vavohu. But if you look a little bit deeper and you read about the Hebrew, the term tohu vavohu actually conveys an idea of chaos, confusion, death, and disorder. And this chaos, confusion, death, and disorder was present at the exact moment of creation as the enemy fell from heaven and God was creating earth. God did not create this. He was bringing order to it. So he created the earth to be inhabited, but for a brief time he created plants, animals, man, light, and so forth, and the earth was void of anything. If God had left things like that, right here in Genesis 1-2, there would be no life, no human life. So in Psalm 8:3-4, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Just marveling at creation. But God did care. Next slide, please. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and sea and other things and on and on. And so the important part there is the dominion. Man was given dominion over this planet. And the word dominion means absolute authority and supreme control. And God gave mankind lordship of this planet. He has delegated this authority to man without any caveats, its ifs, ands, or buts. Next slide. 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish and sea and fowl and on and on. So think about the world that God set up. The garden was made where mankind and God could dwell together in fellowship. And an island in this world of peace. Realizing that what we described earlier is the rest of the world is tohu vavohu. This island was not, because God could not come down and be in that kind of an area. So it was no tohu vavohu in the garden. And the people were ordered to be fruitful and multiply. And they did. First you got a few people, and a few more people, and then a lot of people. And pretty soon the garden became too small to hold all the people. So what happened? As commanded in Genesis 1:28 that we read, they went out in the world with the mission and authority to subdue it. Why subdue it? Because outside the garden, as I said, there was always going to be chaos, confusion, death, and disorder. That's the real tragedy of the fall of man and the real works of the enemy. God will be taking care of heaven, but for now, mankind will need to be taking care of the earth. Not the earth God envisioned, but the fallen earth. But God did not abandon us here. He gave us authority over the earth. And he needed and still needs willing participants to help subdue the earth. Man has to do the work, but God, in his infinite power and spirit, man will use that power and spirit to subdue it. Next, please. God so desperately wants to bring order to our society. So God, as I said, is a God of order and design. He wants a society of order and design. In the book of Jeremiah, God instructed the prophet to warn the people about what would happen unless they turned from their evil ways and repented to God and brought themselves back under his authority. Now, that remember, the nation of Israel was divided in about 931 BC into the North Kingdom, which was Israel, and the Southern Kingdom, which was Judah. Now, the northern kingdom was so evil and wicked that the Lord allowed the Assyrians in 722 BC to destroy this nation. The southern nation of Judah saw this happening, but they continued to rebel against God. And the prophet Jeremiah was sent to them. Next slide, please. In 423, I looked on, Jeremiah the prophet said, I looked on the earth at that time, and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. But look at the Hebrew. Again, I underline that. Tohu vavohu. The same words used before as in creation. Judah had become tohu vavohu. So wicked. It was chaos, despair, evil, death, and destruction. The prophet was telling them that the land and their nation would be destroyed unless they would, and they would end up in that chaos unless they would turn back. Because the nation, Judah, was pushing God away. It was pushing God out of the picture. And God sent Jeremiah to warn them of the dire things that they were doing. In Jeremiah 5, There's six reasons in that chapter, if you start from the beginning, why God was going to choose to judge them. Next slide, please. Listen to these. This is back in 700 BC. Moral corruption was in verses 1 through 6. Sexual impurity was in verses 7 through 9. God provided for them, yet they flocked to the temple harlot to participate in the fertility rites of the god Baal. Their worship spilled over into all areas of their life. Unbelief in verses 10 through 18. They did not believe God would do what he would say he would do. Religious apostasy in 19 through 24. God said they would be destroyed because of their worship of false gods. Social injustice, 25 through 29. The rich were cheating the poor. Their houses were full of ill-gotten gains. This is the kind of society it was. And finally, verses 30 through 31 were showing corrupt leaders, the leadership, the kings of this nation. Prophets and priests were leading the people down the wrong path, away from God. Isn't this a bit scary? When you look at that list, how these warnings were given to Judah, to Judah through Jeremiah, asking them to repent and just turn back to God and turn away from this. Next slide, please. In our nation, starting in the early 1960s, there's been an effort to remove God from this country. What happened back then? The Supreme Court in 1963 accepted a case, Stone versus Graham, and a copy of the Ten Commandments was hanging in the hallways of school. And the court said this was a passive display, but they added, if the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it would be to induce school children to read, meditate upon, and perhaps even venerate and obey the commandments. This is not permissible in the law. What they're saying is that you can't let the kids see the Ten Commandments because they might follow them. This is idiocy. Things like don't steal or don't kill. This is what our Supreme Court ruled. And it would be unconstitutional? It's insane logic. The founders of this country built upon the foundation the Word of God. James Madison, who was the chief architect of the Constitution, said that we have staked the whole future of American civilization on the capacity of the people to follow the Ten Commandments. On whole, the system of laws and governments that we have right now are based on God's word. If you try to eliminate God's word from it, the laws don't make any sense. Couple of examples. Why is it legal to kill unborn children in abortions right now, rationalizing that they're not people yet? But if you injure or hurt a pregnant woman and kill her unborn baby, you can be charged with murder. Why are eagle eggs protected? Why are eagle eggs protected? You can go to jail for breaking an eagle egg. The eagles are not eagles until they pop out of the shell, right? Our laws don't make sense because they were based on the word of God. It's crazy. Our country is paying a huge price right now for trying to rid itself of God and the unwillingness willingness to remove God's hand off of everything in here. But God is jealous when it comes to his people and his children. God does not want our lives and our society to fall into chaos, confusion, death, and disorder. God wants to bring order to it. How? Each time that we've read here, God has brought light into the darkness. He's brought light into the darkness to create. He brought light after the flood. He brings light into darkness. He traveled with Israel through the desert as a pillar of fire in the dark. We all know John 1, which describes creation in a little bit different way than Genesis does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on in 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And to remind us who God is and what he's thinking, let's return to Exodus 20. Exodus 22 contains the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, the first three commandments deal with how we treat God, and the last ones deal with how we treat each other. I'm going to deal next slide. The very first commandment: I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Stop. Period. So we start there. And what happens to a society that puts other gods before them?
Bondage.
Well, let's remember back in Egypt. I want you to remember that when God instructed Moses to bring the 10 plagues onto Egypt, he was not only convincing Pharaoh to let the people go, but we've learned that each one of those plagues executed a judgment against a specific god of Egypt. Each one of those took a false god, and in the sight of the people that worshiped that false god, destroyed it by the hand of the power of the one true God. One by one was used to show the greatest nation on earth at that time how powerless each one of their Egyptian little g gods are when compared to the one true God. Now, where are those little g gods in our society we worship today? Who are those heroes that our culture idolizes and honors? Sports figures? Music stars? Hollywood and television actors and actresses? College professors? Political leaders? News personalities? Let's talk some clear examples of how we've lost the direction of being in the world, but not of the world. I can't help but notice the state of affairs in our country right now. It seems that all these people, our heroes, the people that we gave status and honor to, have now assumed the role of our idols and our gods. We listen to our favorite people on television talk shows give their opinion on our society now, and they have no more knowledge about what they're talking about than you or me. Yet these actors spend their lives pretending to be who they're not. And they've done it for so long, now what they're doing is they're standing up and pretending to be God. And they're not good at it. Like the Egyptian gods that I just spoke about in Exodus, they know that they have no power when compared to the one true God. And they know that too. So with the advent of social media and internet communications, all these pretenders can instantly find audiences to follow them and cheer them on and let them think that they're doing all those great things and look what I can do. I, me, me, me. Convincing the masses that they have answers to all the questions in the world. And we are all empowering them by buying the movies, wearing the sports logos, subscribing to cable television, voting for people without knowing who or what they stand for. Now look, let's good preach for a while. I'm not telling you all of this is bad. I'm not telling you to rip up, you know, all these logos and never watch TV again. Again, we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. I'm not telling you this is all horrible. But I am telling you that too many of us are consuming these products, ideas, and information without discernment as to the true messages we are receiving. And what some of these products are doing is ruining our relationship with God. Our societies put more trust in men and less in God. We remain in the world, but we are truly becoming of the world. Slide, please. So what does God say about this? Go ahead and Google scripture about putting man ahead of God. These are only a few that I picked out. Psalm 146:3. Do not put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Psalm 118:9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Isaiah 2:22, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? Psalm 60:11, oh, please help us against our enemies, but for all human help is useless.
Put the word over.
Again, this doesn't mean wives and husbands and all like that. I am not going to be responsible for everybody. Dave said... That'll be the last time you hear from me on this Bema. But this message does have a fairly ominous tone to it. Is there light for this darkness that we see? Maybe there is. And could it be that God himself has finally had enough of these false gods stealing the souls of our children, of his children? Could it be that God himself is executing judgment on these little g gods in our society right now? Could it be that God is peeling off our scales of people, believers and not believers, peeling off those scales, tearing down the veils and exposing these little g gods that we put before the one true God, just as he did with the gods of Egypt? It appears in recent days that there's case after case of spiritual emperor has no clothes happening right before our eyes. There is a big, bright spiritual light being shown in the darkness of our world. And even with all of this, it's incredible how many people can't see the truth. Hollywood has been caught protecting a group of powerful abusers of women and children because these guys gave them work. So they turned their back. And they got money and influence through these people, all while pretending themselves to be the only true supporters of women and children. Sports teams and players are paid huge salaries to entertain us. Now they're trying to become righteous and stand up for great causes, which is great, but all while tearing down sacred, cherished traditions of our veterans and our country. And then they have the nerve to act surprised when their fans no longer buy their stuff and support their huge salaries.
They're victims.
News reporters who once held a highly respected position in our community, reporters of the truth, unbiased observations, are now nothing more than insiders of chaos, confusion, death, and disorder. I have never seen so much anti-God hate, ugliness come out of a TV set ever. And they have the nerve to act surprised when their ratings go down the tubes. And what happened? And they try to do it more. But it's still up for us to choose between God and the world. Next slide, please. God wants to bring order to our lives. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of confusion, but shalom. Peace is the absence of chaos, confusion, death, and disorder. In Hebrew, lo tohu vavohu. When we dedicated our lives to serve God, we can then begin to find peace in our lives, true peace, regardless of what's happening around us. And as we turn over areas of our lives to God, we'll experience increasing peace and increasing calm and increasing blessings. Think of how many people are living in chaos right now that have ignored the word of God and his instructions. Think about how many people are living in chaos right now because they have put themselves and other humans in the center of their world instead of God. But it's not enough to give a message like this, and it's not enough just to say, trust God and not men. There has to be a heart change. There has to be a great awakening. We have to find a way to bring back respect, love, and tolerance to our fellow human beings. We have to convince people for their own sake that love thy neighbor as thyself is not a God verse. It is the way and only way to get out of where we are right now. In John 10:9-10, Yeshua said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As things get worse, people only go to God after the shootings happen. People wait to find God to get involved with their kids after they're in jail or in trouble or with drugs and alcohol. It takes a devastation in life like a hurricane or a fire or a flood to shake people up enough to realize that they don't have peace in their lives and they can't do things in their own strength without God's Spirit to guide them and the people around them. I'm going off topic. I want to play a short video. We woke up this morning and for some reason we put the news on. And I went to bed last night. I told Kimmy, I said, I finished this message again. And it was a really dark message. And I didn't know how to end it. And I didn't know how to encourage everybody. And God is a good God. I want to show you, I apologize for the quality of this because it wasn't on the internet, but it was on our local TV. It was WFTV, Channel 9 News this morning. And if you can see it, if it finally gets on the internet, you need to hear it clearly. But can we play that video, please? Well, wait, don't play it yet. I'm sorry, let me set the stage. You all heard about this speech out at University of Florida,
right?
And it was a white supremacist out there giving this whole big thing. And unlike other states, our governor brought out the National Guard, brought out the cops, brought out everybody. And was like, he was ready for war. He told the kids to stay away. The university was in sync with our government. And it was they were not going to have this happen as it has in other universities, out at Berkeley, for instance. So here they are, they're outside, and this guy's giving the speech, and there was a guy in a shirt with Nazi swastikas on it. And a black gentleman busted through the crowd and gave this guy a hug. And he said, hug me, what are we doing, hug me. And people were punching the white supremacist in the face, and his face is bloody. And these guys... And that was the end of the news report, and that's what you heard. This morning, they had an interview with these two guys sitting on a park bench in Orlando. And I want you to see what happened. Please.
That speech in Gainesville attracted a lot of protesters, but there was a moment of hope. A white man wearing a t-shirt with a Nazi symbol was escorted through an angry crowd by a stranger who happened to be black. Haley Wade reports that she spent the afternoon working out their differences.
A picture speaks a thousand words, but sometimes only the people who were there can explain the moment.
So I talk, I said, you still want to talk? He says, yeah. And I said, so do I.
Meet Julius Long and Randy Furness.
He was surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Julius was watching the protests outside of Richard Spencer's rally. Randy was there to hear Spencer speak.
Do you think that any terms kind of fake this up?
Divine time. Oh, God.
It's worth getting my teeth knocked into.
They met when tickets sold out and Randy was turned away. He says protesters swarmed him, kicking, spitting, and even punching him.
The only thing I saw out there at the rally was more racial separation.
Julia stepped in to help Randy, and both were kicked out of the protest area.
And the people that were saying, hey, anti-hate, love, were the same ones that were showing that same ignorance and showing that same hate.
But they say everything that happened that day was fate.
He said, what would have happened if you were not in there? I said, there's a great possibility I would have been re-radicalized.
Randy and Julius walked around talking for hours. Randy talked about his radical past, and both said they came to campus out of curiosity.
I was going at a risk, and he went for a risk.
Yeah.
And it paid off.
The unlikely pair found friendship during a day of division.
With communication, we can get an understanding, and we can build relationships.
A lifelong friendship has begun.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe we're going to have some ventures coming together.
Julius and Randy hope together they can spread a message of love rather than one of hate.
I apologize for the quality of that. That was literally taken off of my TV because I could not find it on the internet. But if you missed it, he said a couple things in there. One, that they met, he went through the crowd. The black gentleman went through the crowd and grabbed this guy with Nazi swastikas on him and hugged him. He said, give me a hug. And he did. He eventually did. While people were punching him in the face and spitting on him. on the Nazi, on the swastika guy. Then in the interview, if you didn't hear, he said this was ordained. This was a God thing. These guys are sitting now together, planning on how they can bring the message to the rest of the world. This is, you go ahead, give it. I was ending this message, you know, with a lot of bring God to them, bring light to the darkness. Governor had the National Guard out here. They had guns and they had shields and they had vehicles and they had all of this. And this guy broke this down with a hug. By my spirit, says the Lord. That's the message I want to bring to you today. We can talk all we want. We shouldn't be screaming and yelling and calling names. We shouldn't be... And that was the other thing they said. All I saw was hurt and pain and the people crying, love, 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 the guys that are not love, love, loving. We have to do it differently. That's your example. I don't know why that thing, that video and that interview isn't all over the internet, but I'm going to find it and I'm going to post it. Because that's the message. You don't need a gun. You don't need a tank and an army. You need love and you need God in your heart. And if we don't get God back in our hearts and if we cannot bring that to people, this is hopeless. But it isn't hopeless because you saw one. In the middle of this thing, you saw it. And that's the message I bring to you today. God wants lo tohu vavohu, no chaos, confusion, death, disorder in our lives. He's given us the authority and the responsibility to go subdue the world. That guy subdued the world on national TV. I pray that we can all awaken in time to change a few hearts. How about changing one heart and save at least part of this dying world, one heart at a time. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Amen.